Don't forget to take accountability for anything. Even if it seems something little, it's like, oh, I missed that, or you seem to have felt that way. I'm going to take that accountability. If you don't, you become unsafe. The safety and security is based on accountability. If you can't take accountability, I can't learn to trust you. Big one, massive. Say that again, take accountability.
Welcome to the Relationship Psychologist Podcast.
Tune in every Thursday to learn with us as we interview experts.
And laugh with us as we banter about friendship.
And take action by implementing the tools and advice we provide to you each week to level up your personal relationships.
I'm Dana Mullen.
And I'm Alicia Hinger.
We are soul sisters, besties, and psychologists on a mission to change the culture of relationships.
Your journey to becoming more supported and connected starts
right now.
We are back. Welcome back. A minute. I think we say that every time, though.
We do. I think we say it every time. It's true. It's been a hot minute.
Yes. But we're back and we're ready to talk about some communication stuff today.
Yes. Hot topic that doesn't have to be so hot. It can be a softer topic. It's also something we do every day, all day. Actually, last night at the dinner table, speaking of communication, my son was like, be cool if dogs could talk. Hey, mom. And I'm like, we just started laughing. I'm like, actually, they do. They talk all the time. I can tell my dogs has a sore when her hips are getting sore, when she's hungry, when she's tired, when she's, they communicate all the time. And so I think we want to get into today is talk about people coming to our office, you know, all the time for a thousand reasons, probably top five reasons we could name really quickly here. But we often see that communication is a big one, that they're missing each other because they're not paying attention, or one we see often is they're in their own story, right? They're in their own rebuttal. And they do get this often. Like, I'll get people in my office, I'll be like, yeah, and then I did this thing. And then they're all kind of righteous. And they're looking at me like they want to, you know, right? Right? And I'm like, ask your partner how that landed, how that worked for your partner. I'm not going to validate, you know, I wasn't there, I wasn't in the room. But it's just, you know, people, we all communicate all day long, but there's tons of misses where we're talking, you know, the same sort of language, but not really. And we're missing each other on the road somewhere. And then we're wondering why you didn't hear what I said, or I didn't pick up what you said. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yes, definitely. Yeah. As therapists, obviously, is we're trying to help our couples communicate, right? And
yes,
we're trying to help them be more aware of what is happening internal. I mean, we talk about this lots on our podcast.
Yeah.
You know, 94% of communication is nonverbal.
Bottom up. Yeah.
Everything that's going on inside of you, what's happening in your body, what's happening in your mind, where's your perception? What have you been thinking and feeling as you're communicating? Everything that's going on there, whatever energy you're in is where it's landing to your partner. So that self-awareness piece of like, hey, where am I at? And also watching your partner, where is my partner at?
Yeah. Huge. Huge.
Massive. Yeah.
So let's get some examples. Of some, because like you said earlier, people know how to make it worse, I think. Well, at least what we see a lot is how to make it worse. So I'm not going to show you that.
We'll do some role play today. Let's maybe say just a couple of like the key points that we tell couples. Like,
okay,
just the overarching, like, first off, you have to be eye to eye. I mean, this is the only way that your brain is actually in real time. And if we're not eye to eye, and we're sitting side by side, let's say when we're driving in the car, our peripheral nervous system or vision, is legally blind. And the brain is interpreting things at lightning speed. So you say something with some inflection and some volume, and I don't see you, I'm reacting in a threat response very quickly internally. Yeah. So eye to eye, face to face, so you can actually track and watch everything that they're saying is like a number one.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, you want to fight really poorly, yell from across the room or a different room. Great way to fight. Not.
Perfect.
Just kidding. Or in the car or over text. Don't recommend any of those things. No, it's not a good way to have good communication, especially a conflict discussion.
Exactly. Exactly. And also a number two would be remembering your relationship comes first, not you as an individual. So if you are somebody who wants to be right all the time, that's being self-righteous. That's a one-person system. And that's not remembering that we're in this bubble together. This is our ecosystem. What's good for you is good for me, is good for our relationship. So always remember, if my relationship comes first, then what? If my relationship comes first. I even like to say sometimes for people who've been on sports teams, I think, you know, if you're on a team, how would you talk to your team if you were like the captain or the coach? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because if the team comes first, I'm not going to shame or single out that individual or focus on the goalie that made all the mistakes or the defense or the whatever. I'm going to focus on the team as a collective, as a whole. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good example.
Yeah, which, yeah, really good. Another big one is person first, problem second. So a lot of the times people come in with a lot of problems. My partner doesn't clean up after themselves. I feel like they work too much. Like there's all kinds of problems, but we're actually gearing towards understanding the person. So are you watching your partner as they're talking? Are you co-regulating with them? Are you noticing and seeing into them and understanding them?
Yeah, exactly. Or you're focusing on the content and then you're rebuttaling the content. You're missing all the cues of what's happening for your person in real time in this space and time, which obviously will contribute then to their lack of communication and your defense system is being triggered.
Exactly. Exactly. A third big one. And this one I find not a lot, but I would say, I don't know for you if you find this too, Leish, but I find a lot of people have a hard time with understanding that they have to validate each other. They don't have to be with each other. They don't have to agree. They don't even fully have to understand what that feels like, but they do have to validate their partner's feelings and experience because their perception is real to them. It's not real to their partner, but they have to be able to say, what I'm hearing you say is this, this, and this, and I made you feel this way, and I'm validating that. Again, I don't have to agree with it. We're not in the court of law. So as therapists, we don't care about the sequence of exactly how everything happened. How was your partner's experience of what happened?
Yeah, which is difficult sometimes because as a partner and you're being asked to validate a perception from another point of view that you don't agree with, that's difficult. It's a difficult ask. But the point of it, you have to understand the why of it, right? The why of it is I'm going to validate their experience. Why? To help regulate their nervous system. Because feeling seen, valued, and heard are like biological wires in our attachment systems. And so even if I don't agree with the thing that you're mad about or that you're upset about, you're mad because the dog was barking last night or whatever. It doesn't matter what it is. I can think the content is ridiculous. I'm going to validate your experience. So you go, oh, you see me, you get me. And we can both understand maybe how this content could be ridiculous, but it's not about the content. Person first, I validate your experience. It's true empathy. I'm going to validate your experience. What you're telling me, your feelings are real for you. I believe you. Massive words in the English language. I believe you. I actually believe what you're telling me is your point of view, your perspective, your feelings. I'm not going to supercharge those with my feelings or my point of view or diminish yours with, you know, overriding them. I'm just going to go, okay. And if I don't know, I'm going to say, tell me more. Help me understand your point of view, your experience. Not because I'm enabling you. That's not what this is about. People are like, yeah, but then I just enable my partner. I'm like, no, you're just helping them regulate their nervous system so they don't feel so defensive. And then once they're two frontal lobes having a dialogue again, we can figure out the content with two adult brains, not two dysregulated brains.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The other little piece of that is accountability. So taking full accountability for your, even if it's perceived threat or mistake or whatever it is, it's like, I'm going to take full accountability for, you know, an example sometimes, or one that comes to my mind. I remember once my husband misread my face and he thought that I was being dismissive. Mm. And I could have been like, yeah, no, I was not doing that. But instead I validated him. I was like, oh my gosh, you totally felt dismissed by me. I'm so sorry that I did that with my face.
Yeah.
And after I said it, I wasn't even aware I did that. But if you experienced that, that was real. And I'm really sorry.
Yeah.
I'll do better with my face. And then there's no problem, right? There's nothing. Yeah. Once you validate and you take accountability, there's no argument. People don't just keep stacking on top. They just go, well, thanks.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thanks. Feel better. Yeah. And maybe that thing with the face could be our inside joke later. When you make that face, now I know it's not on purpose, or it's maybe another face you're making that I interpreted different now because now I have a new story to tell, right? Remember, our biases, our perceptions, the lens that we wear are based on every past experience, and they're all biased. They're all biased. All of our perceptions are biased on every past experience we've had. And so we can change the stories, change the biases by doing exactly what you just said, by creating and here now dialogue to change that narrative. And okay, now my bias has changed. Now your face doesn't threaten me anymore.
Exactly. And then another piece of that kind of that communication is checking in. Like, did I get everything? Is there anything else? Like, and maybe some reassurance. I won't do that thing. If I did do something with my face, I would say, yes, I won't do that again. I'll work really hard not to do that.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry. And And then maybe a little closure. Are we good? Like, is are we good now? Like, is there anything else? So it's not brought up again, because that's really what the end of a repair looks like. Like, we're good. Everything's okay. You feel okay. And then we can kind of close it and not bring it up again.
Which is caring for the container, right? Are we good? I'm saying, is the container, our relationship that we live in, the ecosystem, is it safe and secure still? Are we good? It's a nice way to check in. Are we still safe and secure?
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I'm not angry or upset or annoyed. That's okay. Our container can handle feelings. It can handle being annoyed, but we're still good. We're still safe and secure.
Exactly. Another little do in the relationship realm is creating win-win, which I like the wording win-win as opposed to compromising. For me, it feels like compromise. It's like I'm letting go of something, or I'm having to give you something or wait for something in the future, which just doesn't feel, in the moment, it doesn't feel like a team decision. So win-win is where, how can we both feel like we have a benefit in whatever this discussion is?
Yeah. Which, when I hear you say that, I think of like, okay, then I need to know what my partner's win is, and as well as mine. So if we're going to negotiate a win-win and we have different ideas about a thing we want to do, or, you know, a topic, or the way we do the kitchen, or whatever, whatever it is, then you, if you know your partner's world, you have negotiating power. That's what negotiation is. So compromise is negotiation of like, okay, Dana, I want to paint the wall white. I know you really like black. So how can we negotiate this? You know, how would I give you that wall and you give me this wall, right? We can negotiate. So we're both getting something and we're both giving up something. That's what, in my mind, when I think of win-win, I think of that. Like, I need to know, and if I'm not sure, I'm going to ask, what's in this for you? Or how could I sweeten the deal for you so it feels better for you? So it feels authentic and aligned for you too.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm wondering if there's a, do you have an example that comes to mind in any of your couples maybe, or in your relationship, where you've had somebody negotiate a win-win?
Well, my husband and I build stuff all the time. We're like chronic builders, as you know. We're always making stuff. So like literally there's a new, whatever that is, closet thing we built this weekend in here. And so, yeah, so we're negotiating the win-wins all the time. So my husband likes to follow the rules and build it exactly as it is. And you know me, I'm like, just get it in the podcast room. I got to put my microphones in there. I want to cut out. So we were negotiating. He wanted to put everything together in the house and then carry it over here, all put together and built and perfect. And I was like, my brain's like, that's going to be heavy and awkward to get it into this room through the door, all this stuff. And plus I knew it wasn't going to fit the microphone stands. And so I'm negotiating back and forth. Okay, I know his brain. I know that he likes to follow the instructions, and there's 15,000 screws with anything that you buy, you know, from IKEA or whatever, right? So I said, hey, I love that you want to build this thing. So what stage do you have to build this to so it feels good for you so we can carry it to the barn, not too heavy for me? Right. So perfect. I kind of negotiated that, and he was like, well, I want to have the doors on, and I want to have at least the, you know, top and the bottom built with the doors on. I'm like, okay, so it would be good to leave the shelves out because I want to make sure the stands fit in there and I'll have to do double work. Kind of, for example. So it's a negotiation all the time in our house because we're always putting things together and building stuff together. And I know how his brain works. He knows how mine works. And I'm like, impatient. Let's get it done. And he's like, wait, let's build it properly. Like literally he hung the, our core elements sign the other day. And I was laughing because on my desk, he had like measurements and mathematical equations for each letter. He had a laser leveler out, and I'm hanging pictures in here and hanging up these things in here. And I'm just like spitballing. Yeah, that looks good. Put it. So I'm also like, you do those letters on your own. I'll do these squares on my own because we're going to drive each other crazy.
It's so funny. Until you just said that, I didn't realize probably why we also get along in some ways. I'm exactly like Jay, like, cause you want to dive into things and I'm like, okay, there's a sequence and we have to start here. And you're like, but we'll just start here. And I'm like, we should start there at the top. So how funny. And I know you, so I'm always like, okay, she's going to want to dive in. And how do I still be like, yeah, I'm going to do my stuff over here. But I'll meet her there.
Right. It's totally true. And so knowing that, like even today, I was like, okay, Dana, I watched those first five sessions. So you watch them when you have time. We'll meet here. Right. We know each other work. That's a win-win. I'm going to negotiate. Like I'm too impatient to just watch one video at a time. I want to watch 10 videos at a time. So I'll watch 10.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. I had a couple today too, actually, who did a win-win in the session where they were talking about he makes more money and they have their account separate. And so he was doing a lot of travel and she was feeling really left out. And he's like, well, you don't make enough money to travel like I do. And they have an agreement. Like that's how they do things. And she said, he said, I would love She said, every time I come to you, it basically you shut down my ideas. And he said, because you come to me with these ideas of like, let's go to these big places and you don't have it fully thought out. And he said, actually a win-win for me would be, I want to plan those, but I want you to have it more planned out first. I want you to be like, here's the budget and here's some of the things and here's like three different options. And he's like, then I would love to book it with you. Like, I get so excited about that. So they just kept missing each other on just strategizing, even just talking about, cause she's like, well, in your mind, you have money and I don't. And he's like, no, I want to do these things, but just come to me like this. And then we will plan it. And she's like, oh my gosh, like that makes me so excited. I thought you would just never travel with me because you thought I could never afford what you have. And so it was just something, it was just simple, right? For that one, it was just come to me with more things and then we'll do it together.
Yeah. Yeah. So knowing how your partner thinks, again, paying close attention to your partner. Because there's, yeah, really, there's no point of communicating. There's no point of communicating with somebody if your words are landing on deaf ears. The reason we communicate is so that whoever's with us in the room hears what we have to say, because what we have to say hopefully is of value. Or why speak?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. So no, I mean, we say this a lot in our practice, right? Is mastering your partner, right? To get their owner's manual. So, and how do you get owner's manual? It's no different than when you get an animal or when you have a baby. You watch them.
Yeah.
You watch them. You wait and you wonder and you kind of track them a little bit. I notice when they get hungry, they do this thing. I notice when my partner's lacked sleep or, you know, is overwhelmed, they do this thing. Or when they're happy, they do this thing. So we're tracking all that by looking with our eyes. And if we stay in contact with each other, we'll notice what is happening for our partner as well as for us.
Yeah, so true. So true.
Yeah.
And I think circumstance plays a lot of role in that too. Like just today before we had this podcast, I had to go with my daughter to her teacher today. And they've had a dialogue before about asking my daughter's answer questions about how to do the assignments differently. And just wasn't landing. So I was like, I'm going to come with you today and help facilitate that meeting. I didn't have to say anything. I walked in there and sat down and my daughter did all the talking because it was in a different context, one-on-one with the two of them. And this teacher was able to explain, articulate so clearly what she needed her to do for the next exam. It was like night and day difference. I'm like, do you understand? She's like, yeah, that felt so different. I'm like, because you're face to face, one-on-one, by yourselves in a container. Maybe I was the container to be like, go, you two figure this out. I'll just sit here and watch and make sure that it happens. And it was brilliant.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the container makes a big difference too. So be mindful of the whens of communication as well as the hows.
Yes. And just since you said that, that made me think of it too, that one of the very most important thing is that there's safety and security. Yeah. So that we're never allowing our communication to get to an unsafe place.
Yeah.
And that is not necessarily threatening, although that is also, but it could just be even in my body, I might notice something and I'm like, oh, I'm not feeling really good right now. And so do I just keep communicating and let myself get more triggered and more in my sympathetic nervous system where I'm going to get into my fight, flight, or freeze? Or do I let my partner know, hey, I'm feeling a little, like a part of me feels a bit triggered or a bit threatened right now? Because sometimes we don't know that, right? We have to be very aware of our own safety and security, but also watching our partner. And that experience, it sounds like with your daughter and the teacher, it felt really safe, right? Whereas in different school settings, sometimes if they maybe call her in front of other kids, it's like, I don't feel safe now. Like, I don't feel like now there's an audience.
Yeah.
And so now I'm triggered in my sympathetic. And now I don't even remember what you're saying to me because
absolutely.
I come, the teacher talked to me and I don't even know what she said, but it's not good. And really you're like, well, you were embarrassed and maybe felt shamed in front. So it makes sense.
That's huge. It's huge. Context is huge. Like the container that you're in is huge for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so having that, so if you're having a partner discussion with your partner or someone that's important to know that if you're not in a good space, to be able to take a pause and be like, just, can you give me 5 minutes or give me whatever time you need to self-regulate, to soothe, to come back to a place where you're able to articulate and listen and pay attention and have a dialogue.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah. Huge.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do a couple little examples here.
I was going to say, okay, so if I come home and I'm like full of like, you know, caught up in traffic and I'm starving and I'm just like aggressive. And I come home and I'm like, Dana, God dang it. Those dishes are in the sink and I asked you to do those this morning and real aggressive of me. And I'm like, I can feel myself like even just pretending to be aggressive. I'm like, wow, that's a lot. How's that feeling for you?
Well, funny enough, because you're laughing so much, I feel a little bit of arousal, but not too much because you were laughing so much. So honestly, I instantly just want to be like, aw, babe, like you seem like you're a little stressed out and a little pissed off at those dishes. Like, shit, you want to get rid of them? Like, what do you want to do? I would just want to be playful back with you instantly because you were laughing. Although that is also how I would regulate even my husband if he did come in and if he like the fucking dishes aren't done. I mean, I'd be like, oh wow, that's aggressive for dishes, babe. Like, hey. And because I'm self-regulating enough where I'm like, okay, I know this isn't about me. I can see my husband, or if it was you were smiling though, but if he was really mad, I'd be like, I can see that he's frustrated and overwhelmed right now. This has nothing to do with the dishes. Nothing at all. This has to do with overwhelm and being triggered and some arousal. So I can lead with relief there and be playful. If I could go instead, be like, the fuck is your problem? You don't pick up your fucking clothes. You want to start like, oh, don't worry, I have the tally in my head. Do you want to keep score? Oh, I have it. What about the garbage? What about registering the kids for the stuff? What about, like, I mean, if I was in that state, I would attack back. Really good. I
I like you said about the arousal. I think it's a good point to make. When your partner comes home and they're in high arousal, or your kids, this is also your kids or your coworker. If you meet them at an arousal that's so far from their arousal, you're going to miss them as well. So playful and humor. I'm thinking of another example with my husband. We were doing landscaping. He'll laugh when he hears us on here. He was, again, doing things the right way. And I don't never putting those, like, those rocks around like the garden and stuff. And I thought the rough side looked really pretty. So I was putting them the rough side up. Well, that's supposed to be like the where you butt them up to, and they're supposed to connect to the rough side. But I was doing the rough side up, thinking this is kind of decorative and kind of nice. And he came around the corner because we're at the big ends of the garden and kind of not kind of totally spazzed, was like, that's not the way you're doing it. I was like, I jumped and I burst into laughter and was like, okay, let's put them in the garbage. Like, I kind of like yelled back laughing, fuck the rocks. And he was just like, and then he burst into, and I was like, because if I met him there, like, okay, babe, I'm really sorry, right? He probably would have like felt shame and guilt and like, because he knew he was spazzing, right? Because I met him there in a playful way, it instantly triggered him into laughter. And he was like, oh my God, that's, and he was like, do you know what you're doing? I'm like, obviously not, because you're giving me shit. But I think they look great. Why? But to this day, that's like our joke story. But remember the landscaping rocks, and we can both burst into laughter because I met him in a place that was like high arousal, but a different state. Because in the high arousal, you have anger, but also you have passion. Also, you have rage, but also you have like excitement, laughter, right? So finding those high arousal states and meeting someone fairly close to that state in a different, fairly close to arousal, sorry, in a different state.
Yes. Oh, totally. I just because you're saying it, it's reminding me of it. I'm really obsessed right now with the TV show, Love on the Spectrum. Like, I love
Oh,
it.
it's
It's
cute.
so cute. And the reason is that some of the people on there, they're so playful because obviously the autistic brain, depending on where on the spectrum they are, they can just be so like happy. And there's this one guy on there, and he's always so happy. And he's like, hi. And he gives everybody a high five. Like, it doesn't matter how upset you are. He's like, hi, how are you? It's really great. I'm great that you're having a great day. And so we've been playing around with this a lot, like especially me and my son, because he watches it with me. But anytime even somebody's sad, we're like, we just get really playful and, or not sad, but angry, whatever it is, right? So it's that high arousal again, like you're saying, it shifts people. And so not being condescending and not being non-empathetic or invalidating, but it's just like, hey, I'm trying to be playful in our relationship. And if you can stay in that play zone, you can shift your partner a lot more than if.
Huge.
But there might be times where you might say something to your partner, and or they might say something to you, where you notice that in your body really quickly, and you're like, "Wow, that hit me in my stomach and my throat," and I'm like, "I can feel that. Like I feel like that. I want to say threat, like that not safe feeling. Like I'm like, oh, you're coming at me." And so then I might pause and just notice that and say, "Cool, just a second. I'm just going to notice. Like a part of me feels." Not good. And then I might say that, like, hey, I understand that you're really stressed out and you have every right to be stressed out. You have a lot going on. how you came at me feels like it felt really attacky. And I'm just aware of that. I want to know that. And if you can say that back in a calm state, your partner can meet you again at a calm state and be like, sorry, I feel horrible. I've had such a bad day. Or if you don't have a great partner and they just keep attacking you, that's not good either. Right. But I mean, the goal is to, if you can regulate yourself, then you have an ability to regulate your partner. But if you have a hard time regulating yourself, and these are the tough couples that we see, right? When they both have regulation problems, or one has really extreme regulation problems and the other one is always trying to regulate the other person.
Yeah. Yeah. Or high regulation and or high arousal, low arousal, and they keep missing each other, all those kind of things. Yeah. Yeah. So if your partner comes at you and says something that's dismissive, or I see a face that's dismissive, or whatever, I think that what you said is really important. Like, pause and be like, ooh, I felt it right here. Like, I felt it in my body. Your body is going to give you so much great information. Your body and your feelings are constantly giving you information about what's happening in real time. You could be like, oh, that landed right here and doesn't feel very good. Or my guts are all of a sudden on fire. All of a sudden I feel this thing. Just pause. It's like saying to your body, thanks, buddy. I listen. I hear you. I believe you. Same thing you'd say to your partner, right? And I don't even know the details. I just know that that's not landing. Then be like, oh, hey, that thing you just said, I'm sure, you know, maybe even I heard it the wrong way. I'm sure there's a better way we can ask me this, but hey, there's a, whatever you just said, it landed kind of off in my body. Can we try that again? Or, right. Or like you said, I know you're going through a lot. You're right to be stressed out. I know you're going through a hard day, but it landed really hard in my body. Can we, you know, ask for a redo? Let's try that again.
Yeah. Yeah. And take it slow. I think that a lot of because we're interpreting things so fast, our brain is interpreting so much, just to slow it down and go inward first. I have to be aware of me. I can't, like, I think of it with kids as well, right? Like if your kid is having a tantrum, what do you do? Do you lay on the ground and have a tantrum with them? Lay there and be like, I can outdo you. I can do it bigger. Like you watch me do you better. Right. I mean, sometimes you get triggered and then you respond and you're like, you know, but ideally the way that you shift your child is no different than how you shift your partner. I'm going to sit here calmly. What I'll often do with my husband and with my kid, if one of them is upset, I'll go and sit on the ground cross-legged. And I just kind of sit there and I just sit there really peacefully and just kind of look at them and just let them know, like, this means you can come whenever you're ready, nobody's going to stay highly aroused when they're sitting down cross-legged. It's just, you just don't see it. There's no picture of it anywhere.
Yeah.
Some in a fighting position, sitting cross-legged in like some yoga position or something. Like, so it's calming and it's like, come to me when you're ready. And it also helps me regulate. If I'm like, oh, I'm feeling a little bit triggered, I'm going to sit on the ground. And that's the cue of like, when you're ready, come towards me.
Yeah. And you can use those gestures. Like, I'm gonna sit here. I'm not sitting here like this. Like, I'm all tight. I'm sitting here maybe with my hands out, or I'm using my face to soften and look at you. Like, I can see you're struggling, because obviously you're tantruming. Something's happening in your body to make you feel super dysregulated, which I can see. And my job as the parent is to create a container that's always safe and secure. Doesn't mean I'm not gonna feel stuff in my body that I'm gonna talk to my partner about. Like, that was really hard, right? But with my kid who's having a hard time, I'm gonna pause and be like, I am the owner. I'm the captain of this ship. I have to be. I'm the parent. And so I have to be the captain to create a ship that's not going to like tip over when there's waves. Then like, oh, there's some waves going on. I'm going to get real secure in my ship, calm it down and be like, we can handle big waves. Bring on the storm.
Yeah. And if it's your partner also, right? I mean, because if it's your partner and they're freaking out, like, I think instantly you're just saying that because you said ship, but all of a sudden I thought airplane also, which I've heard somebody else uses.
Same.
But you know, you and your partner are flying a plane and suddenly you get to some turbulence and your partner is freaking out. He gets on the intercom and is like, there's turbulence, everybody sit down, it's as bad, you know. And then you're like, okay, whoa, hey, it's okay, we're all gonna be just fine. I'm up here co-regulating my co-partner pilot here, we're gonna be okay. It's like, we want to do the same thing with our partner. It's no different. So if you both break out, I mean, that ship is sinking or that plane is crashing.
Yeah.
Or I think of all, like, riding a horse for some reason. I'm like, if you can't regulate yourself, you and that horse are both going down. Like,
it's true.
You got to be able to manage and shift and know your energy and your arousal to be able to shift. somebody
else. It's true. So kids, parents, animals, riding horses, same, flying airplanes, same thing, you know, and you're going to, and even if you are dysregulated, even if you're feeling your parts of you are getting like heightened or right. I have a memory of being on a horse. I was on my horse and we were bareback and, you know, a coyote came out of the ditch actually and freaked the other horses out. And I'm with like my trainer who's good. And he's riding his horse and his wife, and their horses both bucked and they both flew off. And I'm on my guy bareback because at this time I didn't have a saddle to fit him. And I was like, and I got a really anxious horse. And I just said to him, I was like, I got you. We're going to be good. Trust me. We're going to just walk really slowly. I just started talking out loud and that really like slower, calmer. We're good. Hey, buddy, I got you. And I'm like bringing this heart rate down. Right. So the same thing. I'm going to, even though parts of me are like, holy shit, that was a voice in my head. I'm only going to give the keys to my mouth. The most skillful voice, the keys to my body, the most skillful part of me. Like I'm not going to hand over the keys to my voice to my anxious parts because it's going to say stupid shit like the plane's going to crash. But think of that. Like pilots, it's a good example. Pilots, even if there's things that makes them nervous, you're never going to hear that in their voice because they hand over their voice to their most calm part. So their most skillful part, be like, hey, ladies and gentlemen, right now there's a bit of turbulence. Actually, we're going to crash. It's going to be fine. So say goodbye to your loved ones. Like they would say it all so calm, right?
Yeah. Well, and you know what I mean? It's so funny. One, what you're saying, yes, we actually, when we regulate ourselves through talking, right? Through talking, through breathing, through drinking or eating, like all of that is regulating. Mm-hmm. And I have a couple and he's a pilot. And so I love to use these examples with him because he sometimes can respond to things very, not so much heated, more he just takes off. Like he just is an avoider. But I always use the example of, if you were, you know, when you're flying, do you do that? And he's like, oh man, like, every time he's like, but you can say that to any couple, any person in your job, would you do that? No. Why do it with your partner?
Yeah.
In public, would you do that? No. Why do you do that with your kids? Like just some self-awareness around why is it that you are so much less self-aware and conscious and intentional about how you're showing up with the people that you love the most?
Yeah. Brilliant question. Huge. Yeah. And think about, there's all kinds of answers as to your why, but get clear on that and then ask, is that really who you want to show up as in your relationships? If not, you can make a change right here, right now.
Exactly. I want to end with a couple don'ts. So we started with some good do's.
Here are your don'ts.
Here's a couple don'ts. Don't be self-righteous. So if you want to be right, this is an insecure relationship every time. If it's what's good for me is good for me is good for me. And a secure relationship is what's good for you is good for me is good for the relationship. So self-righteousness will always end you in trouble. Always. Not taking accountability. That's a big don't.
Yep.
Don't forget to take accountability for anything. Even if it seems something little, it's like, oh, I missed that. Or you seem to have felt that way. I'm going to take that accountability. If you don't, you become unsafe. That safety and security is based on accountability. If you can't take accountability, I can't learn to trust you. Big one, massive. Say that again, take accountability.
Yeah, I just, again, the why, because that's a big, people get stuck there. People get stuck there in my office a lot. And people will say, yeah, but I'm enabling their behavior. And I'm like, no, no, no. Why do we do it again? Remember, we're two nervous systems first and we get stuck in nervous systems. Now we're two neurons fighting. We want all the neurons online, we want all the frontal lobes online. So I'm going to validate you. I'm going to take accountability for your experience of my face in that moment, for example. I'm not enabling. I'm taking accountability to regulate the system because I believe your perspective, your experience in the moment.
Exactly. And remember, we don't know people's histories. I mean, even if you think you know your partner well, you don't know them fully. We can't fully know another human being. So, I feel like I had one really, really, oh yeah, I do. I have a client, I'm going to give an example because I think this is really important. A couple came in and she really just wanted more reassurance in the relationship. She's like, I just want him to tell me that he loves me. Like he cheated on her at the beginning of the relationship. So she felt a bit needy in a good way, like, valid, right? Not needy in a bad way. Just, I kind of need some more reassurance. And he didn't know why this kept triggering him. It kept triggering him so bad that he kept leaving and going and spending like long hours at work and spending nights at work. And like, even as a therapist, I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. This guy really wants to be here, but he's not able to do what she needs. And as we started to go into some of his history, doing some attachment work, we found out it was a memory he forgot. He didn't remember the detail, but his mom was actively suicidal his whole life. She had lots of mental health concerns, and she kept a gun above the fridge, and she made him say, "I love you," 50 times, or she said she would get the gun out and kill herself.
Oh my God. Wow, that's a trauma.
Lots of trauma. So it wasn't until that came out that it was like, she was like, okay, I'm going to change that, what my need, because like, it kept coming back to just being like, just say it, like, just take accountability that I need that reassurance. Just do that thing for me. Yeah. Something so simple, but wasn't so simple. So yeah, we have to know some of our histories, and sometimes we don't know all of that, but
yeah. Yeah. And so there's two parts of him, right? There's a part of him that's the adult that's here and now that's like, yeah, I get to say I love you. But that triggers the part behind that. There's this like child that's feeling super insecure or traumatized by having to say I love you to his mom so she wouldn't die. Right. So I think we can all agree for the most part that emotions aren't very logical. They're not always, mm-hmm. if ever, very rational. Sometimes they're really ridiculous. That, right? Not that his are, obviously, but we can just say that. No. We can just be like, so if I'm saying this is my experience and my emotions are feeling like this, this is how I felt in the moment with your face, I'm not validating that was my face meant that. I'm just validating that your emotions are your emotions. And we all know that emotions aren't very logical or reasonable often. No. That's okay.
No.
But it's magic when you validate someone's emotions and they go, oh, emotions feel better now. Now I can get to actually my logical here and now authentic self, and we can be present with each other.
Exactly. And just something as simple as, you know, maybe that phrase, I love you, which can be a tough one for some people, but some other people, I have another couple who has a finance thing, and she comes from massive financial trauma in her family. And she was made to feel responsible for things. So every time it's brought up, it's a massive trigger for her. And just the word finance. So, you know, finding a different word for that.
Yeah.
But you're right. I think too many people focus on again, the problem, and they're not focused on the person. If we go back to the person, okay, this isn't landing for you. This isn't aligning. So I'm going to adjust that, which is the third most or fourth most important don't forget to maintain your partner's safety and security at all times, which is what we're talking about, right? So don't be self-righteous. Remember the safety and security. Watch your partner. Be in their care.
Yeah. Awesome.
All right. Okay. Well, that's our communication.
Communications, that's friends. Go master it. I have created a booklet. I'm just about, well, just be done here like this week, hopefully. So if you want that, I don't know how we're going to send it out yet, but DM us, or probably could like meet with one of us or one of our associates for literally a couple of sessions and master your communication skill. It's a skill. It's a skill that you can learn. So learn it. It's important.
Exactly.
Or just
all right.
Maybe you're like, I was good. I need to do a reminder once in a while. Come back in. We'll give you reminders.
Yes, for sure.
All right.
All right.
All right, friends. Ya. Communicate well.
Thanks so much for joining us.
We're really glad you're here with us on this journey.
The best way to support this podcast is to subscribe and give it a 5-star review.
See you next time.
This has been a Bread Dog Studios production.